Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, slow version of the song here. Welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark. I'm on with Susan. How are you, Susan?
I'm wonderful. Welcome, everybody.
Turn that noise off. I just want to take, it's one of the few episodes where I'm actually going to be drinking during the episode. A quick shot of whiskey.
Hold on. I've got my crown. My crown and seven. Smooth. Fancy on the prairie. Crown.
I'm just drinking some pure aqua spring water, BPA free. It says so that's good. Mm-hmm.
Nice. I'm slugging down fruit punch.
There you go. blue. So, welcome to the show. Right now, I think this is going to be the first episode where I didn't watch my own archived version of the episode to reference this. I watched the Amazon Prime version of this, which I don't know. I don't know if you have Amazon Prime.
I don't.
Ugh. You're smart. All right. You're smart to save your money on that one. But they do offer the entire season. I think March 1st, they kind of came on board. And I just think it's great because it's also going to, I think and hope, have a lot more new fans to the show.
Yes, I agree. They just released Little House and The Waltons. They're showing both of those.
Oh, The Waltons are on there too?
Yep.
You know, I never watched The Waltons.
Oh, I love The Waltons. Crushing on John Boy.
Michael Landon's in that as well, right?
No.
No, it's the other one. What was he on?
Gunsmoke? But there was a lot of, as we've talked about before, a lot of people that did Little House. As a matter of fact, Charlotte Stewart, I think she did the very first episode of The Waltons. I know she was in the first season. She played the poor woman wearing burlap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I could look this up as we talk about this first episode. So, you know what? You remember this from back in the 80s, I bet.
Yes.
A very special episode. Mm-hmm. That's what this is going to be, is a very special episode.
Yes.
This is actually a very funny episode when it really comes down to it. If you take out all the misery and everything, you get about 3 minutes of hilarity.
I was going to say, you've got nothing left if you take all the misery out. We're dialing all the way back to season one.
I'm trying to think if there was anything funny in this episode. We'll look for it.
I don't know. Yeah.
But it's also a very important episode. This is something that is, I think it's a rarely shown episode in reruns when I was a kid. And in general, I just think that it was a worthwhile episode. Do you want to mention the name of the episode?
I absolutely would love to do that. It is Child of Pain, and this is season one, episode 20. directed by Victor French and written by John Meston. And there's a lot of really people that are in this episode that play the main characters, or at least the dad, mm-hmm. John Stewart. We always, talk about how people on Little House have got these huge resumes, but this man just, I mean, when we say he did everything, he really did everything. And John Meston is actually credited as a writer for creating Gunsmoke.
Oh, really?
And he not only wrote this episode, but he also wrote Money Crop. Or he gave them the story for Money Crop, and then he wrote this one, Child of Pain. So he was doing writing way back in the 1940s for radio. And it's interesting on IMDb, they're talking about how he was one of television's most important storytellers, yet his contributions are kind of, overlooked today, other than being credited with creating Gunsmoke. And, he started an adult Western on radio, mm-hmm. and then it went to television as, Gunsmoke. So he kind of set the whole tone for television Westerns, period.
And that's John Meston?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's it. I'm looking at his impressive resume now. I mean, it's Heck Ramsey. I don't recall that, but he worked on 635 Gunsmoke episodes.
Yeah, I mean, just ton. And then the actor that plays Mr. Stewart, please. The man was in Scarface, Clear and Present Danger, Training Day, Ghostbusters. I mean,
are you a fan of Gunsmoke? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I'm not a fan. I've never really gotten into Gunsmoke. Just in researching for this episode, I was just kind of like, I mean, I know it was on forever. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that it had started in radio, maybe not under the name of Gunsmoke.
I just saw that, 1955.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a weird time for radio dramas, keep in mind. I mean, it's the television becoming more and more popular. I need to make a note of that, because as television became more popular, I'm going to imagine that the shows that were kind of showing up on the radio were getting better and better in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. They were trying harder. And I'm a big fan of old-time radio.
Yes, I love it because it allowed people to use their imaginations. It's like now everything is just whatever. But, you had to visualize and all the little sound effects they'd make with the boots walking in a box of sand and all that. I mean, they tried to make it as realistic as possible, but you really had to hone in and listen to get into the. My dad always used to tell me stories about the shadow nose. He used to talk to us about that.
The shadow nose and the whistler.
Yes, and listening to baseball on the radio as a kid and all that. So, yeah.
I'm friends with this gentleman named Vic Sage, and he has a podcast where if you're a fan of radio or vintage stuff, you should really check it out. It's called Retro Radio Memories Podcast. And he works on a very really popular podcast called The Retroist. And he's a fascinating individual. I just interviewed him on another one of my podcasts just a couple weeks ago. And yeah, in general, he releases, he finds these really great episodes and he releases them. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, really great guy.
I didn't know about that, and I do love radio, old radio. So no, I have an old radio in my house.
Oh, do you?
Yes. I have a 1944 big black dial Zenith with all the original parts. I bought it at an antique store. It didn't even have a speaker in it. I paid $90 for it. As a matter of fact, it's the exact same radio that's in the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the rich fat kid. That big kind of bean. It's like a bean shaped. It kind of, the radio kind of goes in waves and it sits on the floor. I got this exact same radio. And one day I said, well, one of these years I'm going to go ahead and buy this. I mean, the veneer was split on the top. It was ugly, but I could see the bones in it. And I had it for about 5 years and I took it to a radio restorer and it cost me about $800, but you can get radio stations all over the world on it. It's all the original knobs, the big green. Oh,
that's
eye.
Awesome. That's great.
I'll have to take a picture of it.
Yeah, you definitely have to. That's awesome.
It's cool.
So I'm going to play our first clip of this. Also, you know, I do want to mention that the actor who's in this, Harris Yulin, mm-hmm. He's still around, you know.
Yes, he
he's
is.
He's still a working actor. And he's just constantly working. You know, he was on just recently in Murphy Brown.
Yes.
But he's on a show I never heard of called Divorce.
I've never heard of that either.
But he's on Billions, which, from what I understand, is a really big show. But, you know, he's also on the show called Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is a Netflix show, which is a huge show. And he's one of these guys you see everywhere. I watched Veep. I saw him on that. He's one of these guys you've seen in something. If you watched any television whatsoever, he showed up on literally everything from every generation. It's crazy. But
I think what I love about his character in this is obviously at the beginning, right? I love the music that David Rose chose to start this episode, because it's a beautiful mixture of somber yet empathetic. And even though this guy is doing horrible things, and I won't spoil alert, but once we find out the whole story, at least in me, it stirs my empathy. And so
I'm going to play that music. I'll play it into the clip just so you can get people can get an idea of what you mean. This copy did not come from Amazon Prime. This is Crackles and Pops.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. It's a really like nice sweeping sad entrance.
Yeah, it is very somber, but for me, I guess because I know the whole story, so maybe my ears are a little bit prejudiced, but I can hear the empathy in it. It's like, again, I don't want a spoiler alert, but I feel this man's character, a mixture of I can't stop doing this, but I feel like a jerk, but that's just how it plays in my head.
So we have a kid's probably, 9 years old or something, 10 years old maybe. Graham is making dinner in a poorly lit house, which somehow still looks better than the Eagles. they still do have curtains.
Right.
So here we go. We're going to hear the entrance of kind old dad.
Ready?
Well, I'm just putting the potatoes to boil. Did you bring the meat?
I forgot.
Well, we got lots of potatoes.
And there's, I mean, he's an alcoholic, so we see, I think, the switch, you know, he walks in and his behavior towards the boy is kind of kind, you know, he taps him on the shoulder and, you know, everything seems kind of, fine level
for a minute.
And this was even though it's his fault, to not bring the meat, it's spiraling out of control in his head. I think that that's what we can imagine is going on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the boy is just kind of caught in the middle of all of this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of heartbreaking. There's a lot of scenes in this that are heartbreaking. If this isn't something that you've ever, you know, encountered, but I also think that something like this is important to see, you know, because the way this guy, you know, beats the crap out of his son, spoiler alert, is really the way, you know, some alcoholics, they lose control.
And, oh, absolutely. And then black out and not remember Unfortunately, I know firsthand that that's one of the most frustrating things about dealing with somebody that has an addiction problem. Because enough a lot about of times the funny they stuff. Don't remember. Yeah, because a lot of times they don't remember, and so you're sitting there either literally being physically wounded or emotionally wounded, and they're just like, "What is your problem?" Because they completely have no recall at all of what they did.
So we get a little bit of a backstory in this next scene. I'm just gonna play it.
Great. I want my whiskey.
You promised not to drink anymore.
Yeah, I just want one little drink, so.
You never stop with one drink.
Where's my whiskey, Graham?
You've promised, Pa.
Where'd you hide it, Graham? Come on, tell me!
I busted it. Both bottles.
And yeah, this is just, oh man, the worst possible thing you could say to the guy, probably at that moment.
Oh yeah, Dad goes for the belt, and they don't show us that, thank goodness. But hello, we know what's going to happen, especially from what Miss Beetle says and scenes coming up.
Yeah, Miss Beetle's in the next scene, and here we go. We'll just kind of jump right into it. I say we just play clips, I'd tell the story a little bit, and we'll comment on the hilarity of it all.
All right.
All right, children, I would like the first arithmetic class to start on these problems that I've written on the board. The rest of you, please continue with the lessons I gave you yesterday. I'm going to be out of the classroom for a while. Graham, would you please step outside with me?
I do want to mention that this boy is played by a boy named Johnny Lee. He couldn't have more of a generic name, but he is credited for other things.
Yes, he is.
Weird stuff, like A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, which is pretty big. TV movie, but also on Bonanza and
Nanny and the Professor.
What?
Nanny and the Professor.
I don't know Nanny and the Professor.
You do? Well, of course you don't. You probably weren't born yet, but yeah, Nanny and the Professor and the Magician. I think that's the one with Bill Bixby, and then City Beneath the Sea.
So you know, it's weird, you know, but this guy kind of vanished. So we're not really sure what happened to Johnny Lee.
I think he's living. It doesn't say anything about him passing, but
also doesn't have a birthday though. It's hard to say. You know, these people they do welcome their own. You know, child actors in general. I think that sometimes they just want to go into hiding and just move on with their lives.
Yeah, I think so too.
So they go out and they go to Doc Baker's house, his office. And Doc Baker's, you know, probably getting off the phone with like, "Oh, I'm sorry that so-and-so died."
And Charles comes in waving his brand new LCDC license.
Exactly. So we see also Doc making coffee in the right there. I never noticed there being a potbelly stove there.
Yeah, I didn't. I've never noticed that either. But
it seems like a bad spot. But
burns his hand on the pot.
He burns it. With his, wait, I'm going to just play this for a second, then I'll make my comment.
Hey, Doc. Back here.
Yeah, he goes and touches it with his right hand. He goes, ooh, you know, and he's in pain. Then he picks it up with his left hand. What? I don't believe that pot of coffee was even warm.
Probably.
Not buying it.
How you doing?
What can I do for you, Ingles?
Well, you've already done it, Doc. It's for all those trips you made out to the house last winter when the girls were sick. Ansel's doing better, and he was able to give me some of my back wages. You're the first one I wanted to pay.
Oh. Well, thank you, Ingles. I'm usually the last one around here. Would you like some coffee?
Yeah, love it.
Maybe I'll go back to calling you Charles now.
Right? This is season one. Everybody's still doing the Ingles, Baker, Olsen stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, it's really classy, I think, to have coffee for people in your office.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So I think he was a little bit of ahead of his time. You know, it's not a Keurig, but at the same time, hey, cup of coffee. It's nice.
Isn't it one of those great blue, white speckled pots?
Yeah, I love those things. Like the
I know, I do too. Yeah.
I don't know what they are. Is it porcelain? I'm not really sure.
I think it's metal.
But I mean, it's usually metal with like a porcelain.
Yeah, pot. Or it's got some kind of porcelain finish to it or something. Yeah.
Asbestos or something.
Right.
But here we go. I'm going to play the a little bit of a long episode, I mean, scene, but it's worth hearing, I think, because of all the HIPAA laws that would be destroyed at this moment.
Right.
And I'll just play it. But...
Miss Beadle.
Morning,
Miss Beadle. Graham? Well, what happened to you? Get another fight?
Take off your shirt, Graham.
I think I better go.
Please wait a moment, Mr. Ingalls.
Are we going to assume maybe that the boy was smart enough in a lot of ways to go to Miss Beadle?
Yeah, because Miss Beadle, I think as she continues talking, it may be this scene, it may be another scene, but she's just like, you know, he's been late or he's missed school or something. And she seems to already have an awareness that this is going on.
Sure.
Come on, Graham. Take your shirt off.
Hey, Charles, no problem. It's a show, you know?
Right.
No, but I think it's, you know, Charles being the type of person who would actually take action. But the boy takes off his shirt and you see some really, really horrible black and blues all over his back from belt whippings.
I thought they looked really fake, though.
Oh, yeah, it's basically black smears.
Yes.
It's like if you take a charcoal briquette, like a thing, exactly. And just kind of scrub it.
Exactly. That's what I thought. I was like, people in the makeup department fell on the job on that one.
And then they looked at the front of them, they're like, oh, my hands are so filthy. Let me just smush this into your eye. Give you a black eye.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's pretty bad. We don't see any cuts or anything, but supposedly this is going to hurt. So.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to sting a little.
Not going to hurt as much as deading them, though.
Right.
Get hit anywhere else?
No, sir. I fell out of a tree.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been some tree. All right, you can put your shirt back on.
Graham? Would you mind waiting outside for a moment?
So, yeah, I mean, there. I think a lot of people go, you don't have a right. And I couldn't disagree with that more.
I'm in that same boat with you.
But I'll play the where they discuss the beatings that the boy's been getting.
Right.
How many times is that now, Miss Beadle?
4 in as many months. Every time it gets worse.
He's going to cripple that boy.
We can't let that happen.
What are you going to do? The man's a drunk.
Oh, you can't talk to him about his drinking. I've tried.
Reverend Alden tried. He wouldn't listen.
Are you two telling me that there's nothing that can be done?
Well, if we weren't so doggone civilized, I'd suggest a public horsewhipping.
He wouldn't listen to you, Doc, and he wouldn't listen to the Reverend. What about the whole town? What if we all got together? That might have some effect on it.
How would you manage that?
Town meeting right after church. No doubt that boy needs help.
His father needs help, too.
Well, right now, you're a better Christian than I am, Doc. I don't care about his father. I just care about the boy.
So this seems to be a very important episode, of course. Especially for the time, right? I mean, this is 1974, right? Or 75-ish. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you have the exact date. What
What did I say?
You don't have it here.
Oh!
Nice
shame
move.
Shame on me. Susan. Shame on me.
Let's see.
Shame on me.
Oh, yeah, 75, February 12th, 1975. So, you know, I would say that, you know, in the mid-70s, you know, talking about child abuse is, you know, so openly in a family-friendly show like this.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, where else was it really dealt with? You know, at this point, I'm not really sure, but maybe Edith went through a rape, you know, possibly.
Right.
From All in the Family, of course.
Yeah, she did.
We dealt with a number of, you know, very serious topics. And I'm just kind of curious.
Considering this is a kid's show, it's just like, wow.
Well, I watched this with my son, who's 10. He was just getting really pissed off. Like, he's just, you know, because, you know, I think it's weird. I was about to say, kids don't understand it, but I don't understand it either. Like, I don't understand beating the crap out of a 10, you know, this kid, you know, it's like, all right, clearly I'm going to win, you know, it's like, I'm going to,
right.
You know, actually my son has pretty good knife skills now. So I don't know if I'm going to mess with him.
Well, and again, I always find the irony, even though I realize Michael Landon did not write this episode, but we know he controlled every, you know, hair, every ant on the set. And, I still always find it fascinating with these heavily psychological episodes. And of course, I have counselor brain, so I always look at it that way. But I do find it fascinating that there are so many episodes that are very, very, very heavy in psychology. And a lot of it comes out of the character of Charles Ingalls' mouth. And so, I don't know, somewhere in him, I mean, his hatred of psychology was based on the fact that his mother was crazy. She tried to commit suicide a couple of times when he was a kid, and she went to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and that person did nothing. You know, mom's behavior didn't change. Therefore, he felt psychiatrists, psychologists were worthless. But of course, we, you know, all know in 2019 that, yeah, you can be a person that goes to a shrink for 25 years. If you're not willing to do the work, it's not going to work for you.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, we also have to remember this is the first season, right? So,
right.
I'm going to guess this around, I don't really know how it worked in television back then, but did they make the entire, 24 episode run right off the bat?
I believe they did.
Wow, that's such an investment. It's like crazy.
Yeah, because this is episode 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think, you know, they
maybe
did
they
24.
Cover all their bases. You know, it's like kind of like, let's, you know, we got to do, you got to cover this because we might not have a season two. So,
well, maybe so, but yeah, for the 70s, this is really out of the box and brave for show that children watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you're not just talking about child abuse. You're not just talking about a kid who's getting, you know, hit by his dad. You're talking about so much more. You're talking about, you know, the alcoholism. You're talking about, like you were mentioning, psychological aspects of, you know, the blame game and basically how to deal with that.
Well, and not only that, but we don't know, and I know it sounds like a stretch, but because I've had those personal epiphanies in my own life, how many kids were watching this? How many kids watched this episode that had a mom or a dad that was an alcoholic that was beating the crap out of them in 1974 when nobody talked about it?
Yeah, like 89% of them.
So it's like, who knows? Maybe this kid saw this episode, because a lot of these kids, just like the character ends up saying, they use a lot of very stereotypical childlike thoughts, because children, that when mom and dad get divorced, I know when I got divorced, the very first words out of my kid's mouth were, what did I do? Children just internalize. But children internalize like that, and they think that it's their fault. Well, you hear Graham later in this episode talking about, you know, dad can't help it when I'm bad, blah, blah. So he's blaming himself. So maybe after a kid watching this, he's like, wow. And maybe he went and talked to a school counselor. Maybe she went and confided in a teacher. I mean, we don't.
Right.
Television and movies are very powerful media that can really, you know, get into people's heads and help them make better decisions and stuff about their lives. So, yeah, it was real ballsy.
Well, the whole town folk, basically, well, not the whole town folk, but the key members of the of Walnut Grove Township get together to discuss the situation.
Yes, they did.
And here's the minutes on that.
Right.
John Stewart won't listen to any of us individually, but if we all get together, make it a community matter, we just might be able to have some effect on him.
And if he tells us to mind our own business?
Which is probably what most people would just say regardless.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we have no choice. We don't have a constable or a jail here, but they've got both in Springfield. If we have to...
You were saying they have constables in Texas, right? Tejas. Oh,
yes. Tejas.
So they would basically just have to, you know, kidnap him and bring him in a sack or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So they're just, you know, talking about him and everything, and we get a visitor.
Mm-hmm. You talking about me?
This scene, I know we're running long in this episode, and that's totally fine. I just think, from an acting standpoint, this kid is brilliant. If you watched it, the next time you watch it, just watch the kid while he's talking to them and everything.
Yes.
Because he's smiling. And,
I noticed that.
But this kid is not breaking character, even though, like, this is a very, very animated scene. Because he's stumbling in drunk. So,
here I am.
And he shoves the kid around pretty physically.
Right.
Well, come on, let's hear what you got to say. If anybody got the guts...
Harriet's just like with her hanky, like, oh, land sakes.
And Charles whips out that LCDC.
Huh? You're welcome here. It'll save us a trip out to your place.
Well, speak your peace, Ingles. I'm real anxious to know why you're holding these meetings to stick your noses into my personal affair.
Why don't you have your boy wait outside?
No, my boy will stay right here with me. Why don't you start talking?
There's no reason why the boy has to hear any of this.
He stays right here.
All right, suit yourself. We know you mistreat your son, and we're here to decide what to do about it.
You can't do anything about him or me.
Oh, yes, we can.
Well, what gives you the right?
It's not just me, it's everybody, the whole town.
Whew. You got no right to do anything one way or the other.
I would think Victor French would have wanted to be this character.
Right.
Because he, you know, I really do think, I think that the Victor French character is, of course, wonderful. But there's a darkness there that I think that they never really tapped into with. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Edwards is, you know, he's a badass in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he is, and he always played badasses.
But he was always friendly. He was a friendly badass. You know, he was the biker who everybody was friends with. And I would have always wondered to have seen, aside from, of course, we've seen peaks at that, but never the full-blown crazy Edwards that we heard about.
Right.
So essentially... They, you know, of course, they're confronting him. They're having this type of one-on-one. And without popcorn, Pa sits in bed and talking to Caroline. And
no sex tonight. They're no, too grim. Well, they're
we
too
don't grim. We don't use SCX. We just say popcorn.
Oh, sorry. Popcorn. Sorry. With butter. Anyway. Yeah,
exactly. But you know, Charles seems to be very involved here and feels as though he really needs to take it to his, you know, take it into his own hands and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Graham's house. I'm going to play the scene where Charles pulls up and. Because Miss Beadle let them know, goes and says, Charles, I don't know where the boy is. He didn't come today. And
yeah, he didn't missing. Go to school.
It's not like him to be late. And so Charles goes out to the farm. I don't know if it's really a farm. I don't really know how Stuart lives, right? Because he has
right.
He has a farm, but it's not worked. So I'm not really sure. But, he gets there and the door's wide open. He walks in. He sees that Graham is laying on the ground unconscious.
Yes.
And
the house looks like a bomb went off in it.
Yeah, and so he wraps him up in probably a pretty expensive quilt of some sort and steals it, right? And kidnaps the kid. Let's be real here. The legalities of what he did, you know, have to, of course, go out the window.
Yes.
Based upon the situation. But I would imagine that
here.
He would go to prison. I mean, he would go to jail these days. He would get at least booked.
Oh, yeah. You had no right to take that child from his home.
Yeah. Well, I get, you know what? I wonder, because it's like a medical type thing. And dad is passed out in the barn. So maybe it would have been all right. So Charles and Doc talk about Graham and like, what's going on? And this is only an hour after, so.
Right.
You know, we'll see. I don't
know. I won't know till he comes to. It's a good thing you went out there, Ingles.
Too late. It's too late.
Oh, what if you had got out there to stop him? What about the next time and the next?
There isn't going to be a next time, Doc.
There better not be.
I'm going to adopt him.
What? I'm sorry.
I'm going to adopt him.
Exactly. It's,
he adopts everybody else, so might as well take Graham on, too.
You could sleep in the kitchen. The new Maybe? Kitchen.
Doc, you got a boy here. Where is he, Doc?
Big echo in this little place.
Sounds fake.
Well, Miss Ingles said you'd probably be here. Now, what's going on? You and Doc trying to steal my boy? Well, where is he? You hiding him back there? How you gonna get in my way, Ingles? I want my boy.
You're not gonna have him. He's in bad shape. He's still unconscious.
So this is where we learn that blackouts are basically happening.
Yes.
Pretty much the number one sign of that your drinking has really gone a little too far in life is when you start forgetting what happened.
Absolutely.
I'm not lecturing anyone. I'm just saying, you know, if you're forgetting what you did and what you said and where you were, then maybe you just order a Diet Pepsi.
There you go.
Or Diet Coke, whatever. I don't know how you
text Fresca. Things. Fresca.
Fresca. You know, I can't drink Fresca. There's juice in it. I don't know if you know that. It's,
yeah, grapefruit juice. I used to love it when I was a teenager. I haven't drunk it. Well, I can't. I'm not allowed to have grapefruit because of the medicines that this old woman takes. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I like grapefruit, but I don't like, we'll buy Fresca and it'll just kind of sit in the house.
I love grapefruit with a spoonful of sugar on it. When that when the sugar soaks up the grapefruit juice, it's just like, anyway, I can't have it. So,
you know, there's, I don't know if you ever heard of this thing. It's, it's called Fruities. You ever heard of this?
Mm-mm.
It's one of these kind of weird things. This has nothing to do with this episode. So if you were to go on Amazon and type in Fruities, I think it's spelled F-R-O-O-T-I-E-S, like Fruities.
Okay. Okay.
It's made from some special plant. And what you do is you take a capsule of it, like a little pill, and you let it slowly dissolve on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
For the next, I'm going to say 20 minutes to a half hour, everything you eat that is bitter or salty or sour is sweet to your taste.
Oh, wow.
And so if you were to take this and you bite a lemon, it's like the best lemonade you've ever had in your life.
Oh,
but it's just
wow.
a lemon.
Oh, well, see, I'm from Texas, so I automatically thought, you mean you could eat a whole pile of jalapenos and they would taste sweet?
That's it would taste like sweet. I've had them. I've eaten jalapenos, grapefruit. Grapefruit is probably the best thing I've ever had on it. It's like eating candy.
Going through grapefruit withdrawals. I'm relating to this episode.
But no, like apples. Like if you eat apple, it's like eating the sweetest apple you've ever had in your whole life. I'm trying to think. There were a couple things that were bitter. Like, because you have to think, you know, like a grape, you know, the tannins of it. If you drink a glass of wine, for instance, it's like grape juice.
Oh, man.
The tannins and everything really. So I do recommend it. It's like $10 for a bunch of it. And you get together with your dopey friends and you take it. It's not like a drug. It's like it's an extra. It doesn't make you high or anything.
Get together with your friends and take it.
Get you sweet on, you know.
Oh, I know. We could take those pills like with the Little House episodes where they say, see ya. Okay, everybody, thank you. See ya. Please take one.
But, you know, I will say the best thing I had on this was on this while I was dosing on Fruities was a strong cup of tea with lemon in it.
Oh, wow.
And it was really just amazing. It was strange. But anyway, I'll put a link to it in the show notes.
All righty.
Maybe I'll buy Fruities and send it to all of our supporters.
Hey, there you go.
With our new sticker.
That's right. Everybody that's supporting the podcast gets some Fruities and a sticker.
You know what? By the time they listen to this, they'll already have the stupid sticker. But we're working on other things. By the way, yes. patreon.com/ Walnut Grovecast.
So support anyway, Walnut Grovecast. Okay.
Back to the show. Mm-hmm. So the town folk meet again and they come up with a plan to help.
Yeah.
That man is a monster.
Well, what I want to know is he going to come busting in here like he did last time?
No, he's locked in my storeroom at the mill.
He's asleep. He will be for several hours.
Or thanks to the morphine, morphine, but whatever he gave him.
He's asleep. He'll be that way for the next 3 days. Right.
Like, wrapped him in like something. Yeah.
Shooting him up with morphine.
Yep.
Swip would be good for what ails him. Some tar and feathers throwed in.
We came here to help the boy. All I hear is talk about punishing the father.
He's earned punishment.
Hurt the father and you hurt the boy. Because he loves his father. Destroy the father and you destroy the boy.
Dr. Baker.
John Stewart is a sick man.
Which is just a great little soundbite because, you know, the comic John Stewart. Just,
so oh, God, that's hilarious. How funny. Oh, right, my God. Never thought of that.
Sick.
If one of your animals was sick, you'd do anything and everything in your power to cure it. Can you do any less for a sick man? Cure him. Save him, and you save two people.
Oh, you're asking for the impossible.
No, Kennedy, it's not impossible, given the right kind of help.
Why are you yelling?
And I'm talking about someone to watch him around the clock.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
Now, what's a sow's ear?
You know, like a pig ear.
Oh, is that a pig ear?
Yeah, a sow.
Oh, I never heard of an ear being referred to as a sow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be a waste of time to try.
Yes.
Is that your answer? A chance to help a fellow human being and you call it a waste?
Now, you heard your wife, Ingalls. What about it?
This guy's the biggest wise-ass in Walnut Grove Township.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Kennedy.
He really is. He's always... Right. I really wish we knew more about his character.
He's the one that's always prejudiced.
Come on, Ingalls. You're man enough.
I'll give it a try.
Charles' hair is very curly in this episode. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, his hair was naturally curly.
No, but it looks crazy curly out of nowhere in that particular scene.
It does, and I guess that was before he was getting it blowed out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Carolyn.
Of course, I'm sorry. I don't want to say anything negative about Michael Landon in case that complete lunatic who's probably listened to this podcast, right? And hopefully she knows who I'm talking about. The woman who who's just so nasty. I hope she's listening to this and she realizes what a lunatic she is.
I hope so, yeah. Just God bless her.
You don't hope. I'll take the brunt of it.
Get life.
Yeah.
We all live little house, but we have day jobs.
I'm sure she listens to the show. I'm 100% sure.
Yeah, she probably does. So Carolyn whipped out her LCDC. For those of you that are going, Susan, what is an LCDC? It's a licensed chemical dependency counselor certification. That's what I keep joking about.
I was going to ask you that. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Licensed chemical dependency. There's a lot of them here in Houston.
You know what's funny?
Drug addicts.
You can sense my tangents sometimes, I think. So you know when to change the subject where I started like tearing into the lunatic. But anyway.
Well, that's part of me being the Ed McMahon to your Johnny Carson. All righty now. You are correct, sir.
But Caroline is, now Graham is a part of the house and he's like looking around kind of like, wow, nice, firewood. And
my house is nicer than your half now.
Yeah, or at least parts of it are. We have, all right, I'm just going to play this cute little scene with the girls around the dinner table. I think it's just a sweet scene where they're all talking about dinner and getting it ready. And kind of like his view in on a normal family.
Yes.
And poor Carrie, I don't think Carrie has one line.
Stick of furniture.
Aw.
I hate it all.
Laura.
Well, I could.
Alrighty, man, sit down.
What is that? What do you think that is?
I don't know. I'm not watching it with you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm looking at my notes.
But it looks like a stew with some white stuff on top.
Oh. Okay. It's Denny Moore. You know what it is.
Oh, yeah, it's Denny Moore. Visual thing.
Right.
So he's just kind of becoming, it's sad because he knows he's a guest, he knows he's imposing, he knows the whole thing, but he doesn't realize that the Ingalls just don't care about that. Most people wouldn't, of course. Right. A kid in this kind of situation, if he was my son's friend, would be welcome in my house for as long as needed.
Well, of course.
And I'm sure you know what I mean? Like, you don't
as well, of course.
You never turn your back to a situation.
I had a situation like that when my kids were young, before my daughter was born.
Oh, really?
Different thing, but she was living in the house with her mother and her stepdad, and the secret came out that her stepdad had molested her, and she was still living under the same roof with him. And I was just like, oh, hell no, excuse my cuss word on the Little House podcast, but I was no, and she came and lived with me for a while because it was just like, seriously? And the mom was totally in denial and it was just a hot mess. But oh yeah. So I know I would open my door. Absolutely.
Yeah. When I was younger, one of my brother's friends had like a really bad home life. So he basically lived at our house like 95% of the time, mm-hmm. And that's fine. We had the room. And that's the thing, if you have the room and it's not, my whole thing is this, like, if you're going to be in that situation where you're in somebody else's life, just don't make their lives miserable because of your life.
Absolutely.
That's always what happens. You get that spillover,
Yes. Yeah.
They
don't need to move from one dysfunctional household to another dysfunctional household. You got to have your have your head on straight and not ever make that child feel like you're a burden and why are you going home yet? And yeah. Mm-mm.
So at the Ingalls Rehab Center,
little 12 steps on the prairie.
The first thing we do, yeah, this is way before I think AA and 12 step program and My Name Is Bill, but this predates it by a good 80 years, I guess. I'm not sure. Actually, no. When did that?
No, I think it was either the 40s or the 20s.
All right, so 60 years ish, 70 years. The first step for him is to get rid of all the booze, spill it out, make it like a type of ritual, I guess. And so begrudgingly, he's bringing his bottles of hidden booze out to pour out, dump, and you see it's painful for the guy. I'm surprised the guy only had three bottles, to be honest with you, at first.
There a secret one?
Or six, like that's the thing,
April 15th, 1926. No, that was when American Airlines was founded.
Nice.
I'm sorry, I was looking for AA and it came up American Airlines.
I'm sure you're not the first person to make a mistake. You're like 1926. Oh no.
I was trying to be slick. I never look up stuff while we're talking. So 1935.
Yes. All right. So Stuart is having a tough time because he's going through the DTs, he's detoxing and he's seeing bats, which I think but it was only the bat, like that was it, I feel like that was a good opportunity to go psychedelic on the show. I mean, they've done it before, like with the Carrie episode, and it just wouldn't be the first time. So, but he's going through it and he's having a real tough time, and Charles is really working him hard.
Yes.
And we see the next day that Caroline is getting the lunches ready, and I really feel for this kid still because, he really does, I think, feel like he's an imposition. But here's that scene.
Sure hope Miss Beagle doesn't give us a geography test today.
Oh, you did your homework. I saw you.
But that was for yesterday.
You shouldn't spend so much time reading Tennyson.
But I like Tennyson.
What's Tennyson?
Tennyson, the writer, Tennyson. Tennyson's poetry?
Boring. no, I don't know it. Maybe I know the pieces, but I don't know it by name like that. But
Well, maybe you can get him to take your geography test.
All right, everybody. Your lunches are ready. Here's yours.
Come on, Graham.
I don't need any. Mom made it special for you, Graham.
I never take lunch to school.
But it's different now.
I don't want it different. I want to go to school alone, like always.
But Graham...
It's all right, Laura. You go on ahead, Graham.
If he wants to be an ungracious host, guest. No. I think Ma sees immediately what needs to be done is for them to just kind of let him do what he needs to do. And that's maybe go to school alone.
Yes.
He doesn't need to advertise, the town already is talking crap. I mean, I'm sure Nellie is bullying him. We just don't see it. If this was the real world, of course, Nellie and Willie would be going black eye.
Right.
And,
Your daddy's an alcoholic.
Exactly. And they would have a song about him and it would just be horrible.
Right.
So it really would be. I mean, they're the worst. Yeah. I mean, it's just, so they let him go there. Cause it's like, let's not make it even tougher on him.
Exactly. They decided to be sensitive for one episode.
I like this scene a lot where Graham and Mary are feeding the chickens.
Yes, I do too.
This is one of the sweeter times with Mary, I think. Not that Mary's not a sweet character. just, it's more, we don't get to see Mary just being friendly with one person outside of her family sometimes.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I never fed chickens before. See that one?
What about it?
It's mine. Ma said it could be my very own.
It's beautiful.
When it grows up, it's gonna lay tons of eggs.
Gee, your very own. That big one, he'll probably lay a ton of eggs too.
That's a rooster, a boy chicken. Boy chickens don't lay eggs.
And how do you tell which is which?
They're just, well, they're different. You know, different. Boy chickens are like pa's, and girl chickens are like ma's, and...
The frustration on Mary's face is actually really hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, there's one sure way to tell. If you lift a girl chicken off the nest, there'll be an egg under.
Boy chickens, no egg.
That's right. And that one of mine isn't mine anymore.
Oh, why not?
It's yours. I just gave it to you.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
It's too late. You can't give it back now. It'd be impolite. It's yours, Graham.
I would have even have thought that this would have been a wonderful opportunity if Grant was a little bit older to be Mary's crush.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe that's getting a little too complicated in the first season of this particular show.
Yeah,
not knowing where it's going.
Right.
I mean, think about that. I mean, that would have been a really wonderful opportunity. Even the scene seems as though a little bit maybe she has a crush on him. But yeah. It's not. It's just not. But I think that's very sweet that she would give... the Ingalls are apparently rich now.
Right.
What happened?
But... Here, you can take my chicken. Oh, wait, yeah. A minute. That was for dinner on Sunday. What are you doing, Mary?
I guess we're not going to eat pa. Mm-hmm. Eat possum more, again.
More beans and cornbread with no right. meat.
Mmm, black beans, cornbread. That's so we see on and on that not Graham. Graham's father, I think it was Stuart. Stuart is working really hard, you know, is being worked really hard by Charles.
Yes.
And he's really just kind of Charles is keeping him so busy and so full of effort that he doesn't have the opportunity to even want to drink in a lot of ways.
Right.
In very few ways. But it's a really kind of interesting way, and I have to wonder if there's... what do you think about this whole thing? I don't believe that you can just work somebody to the bone, and that just kind of takes the desire for them to...
Yeah. No, it's a very simplistic approach. And of course, we're going to clean up this story in, you know, a 45-minute episode. But yeah, realistically, no, I don't. Eventually, you know, things would slow down, and because it is an addiction, and it has to be a choice every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody has to say to themselves, well, how free do I want to be every day? And so, yeah, it's not this simple.
No, I say we discuss the timeline here as well. How long do you think that it was that Charles was with Stuart?
Oh, you know, that's a good question.
I was thinking 3 weeks.
Shut up. I was going to say the same thing.
Really?
That's exactly what I was going to say. 3 weeks.
Because we know that Reverend Alden came back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's at least a week. And I would guess that he'd probably give it 2 weeks.
Right.
And then
I know I love what Mr. Stewart says to the Reverend when he shows up on the property.
Yeah, he's like, I'll play that.
It's like, oh, that was a good one.
Well, I mean, I was thinking, I thought that the Reverend was going to say, like, well, you were probably too drunk to remember.
But right.
Here it is.
Fine. Charles tells me he can hardly cook enough food for the two of you.
When did Charles learn to cook, by the way?
Yeah, because the episode's way down the pike in the fifth season or the sixth season when Charles is trying to cook, he burns everything.
But then again, wasn't that a roast?
Yeah, I think so.
Those are just beans and cornbread. So mm-hmm. Maybe. All right.
Get out here.
My usual rounds.
Well, that's funny. I don't recall you ever paying a social call on me before.
No.
Well, I stopped by to see the Engels. Carolyn and the girls asked me to say hello to Charles.
I'm still not. In other words, not making a social call.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it's what he's saying. It's kind of like maybe you don't deserve a social call.
Yeah, he kind of rescued himself on that. But I remember the first time I saw it, but it was kind of like, oh, he got you, Reb. You ain't never even been out here before. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So the Charles confronts him about the fact that he's blaming his son. It comes down to this, that during childbirth, Graham's childbirth, his mother died. And it's just one of these things that we feel as though Stuart blames his son clearly for. It seems obvious to us, but apparently it was not obvious to him.
Right. Yeah, totally subconscious on his part. Because Graham tells that to Carolyn, because Carolyn's like, you know, talking about how your mom died. And Graham says, you know, oh, she died when I had me. And Carolyn's like, oh, you shouldn't blame yourself. And he's like, I don't, but my dad does. So even Graham knew, because when he's drunk, that's what he's talking to the kid about when he's drunk. If it hadn't been for you, I mean, they never show it, but you mm-hmm. could assume that, you know, when he's drunk, he's ranting and raving about, you know, if it hadn't been for you, my Lucy would still be alive and blah, 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 blah. So then, of course, Carolyn tells Reverend Alden, and Reverend Alden goes to the property and tells Charles.
Yeah, so there's one weird scene, because it seems as though Stuart's doing a lot better.
Yes.
And they're sleeping. Charles and him are sleeping in their small place. And we see him get up, Stuart get up with his boots and walk out, sneak out. We're like, all right. He's clearly going to find the alcohol, and he's, you know, he's going to, there's another bottle, in other words.
Yes.
And I forgot how this episode, and, you know, I didn't know that this was going to happen. I totally forgot about it. I don't recall this episode playing very often, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So he goes into the barn, and he has a bottle of whiskey in there. Picks it up, and he smells it. And you just know he's going to take a drink. You know it, right?
Right, right.
And he goes and he pours it out. You're like,
yes.
That's, you know, it's such an easy... What's kind of crazy is... It's such an easy physical action, right? It's just one of these things that, unfortunately, when people have this debilitating need to have alcohol or to abuse some form of substance, they just can't do that physical flip. But it's I feel as though he's putting the love of his son ahead of the addiction.
Yes.
Which is what I think works with a lot of people. You know, I think that addiction can be helped by embracing the love you have for either your family or another person.
Yes.
You know, it can definitely help. It can help, like, with certain hurdles. And
it can for some people. One of my good friend's mother was an alcoholic, and my good friend was pregnant. And my friend, who had grown up with her mother being an alcoholic, said, you're never going to see this grandbaby, because I'm not going to let you do to my child mm-hmm. what you did to me. And she went cold turkey, and she had an issue with pills and alcohol, which was started from a surgery that she had back in the 60s when doctors used to say, oh, here, take a pill, sip mm-hmm. a little wine, whatever.
They still say it, though, you know?
Yeah. And she quit cold turkey because there was no way in the world she was not going to ever see her first and only, as it turned out, only grandbaby. So, yeah, for some people, it can be a motivator. Absolutely.
So yeah, he spills it out, and Charles is right behind him. And
yeah, let's play that clip.
Oh yeah, you want to hear that? All right.
Yeah, let's play that clip because it kind of brings the story in full circle.
It's not peeing, that's whiskey pouring out.
Well, you're just in time. That's my holdout bottle. It's the one I didn't tell you about. Well, I thought it was time that I found something out, and I did, and it gave me some pleasure to pour it out. Some. You know, something else too. You're right about something else. I did blame Graham. I blamed my son for my wife's death. I didn't realize it, but I did. I love my son. I do.
Come on, why don't we get some sleep? I want to
race you.
Right? No. Well, he tells them they're going home tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go home tomorrow.
Whoops. Yeah. I talked over it, but he's basically saying, yeah, we're going to head home tomorrow because it's like, well, I got a life.
Right.
I got to, a million kids. So Charles kind of comes in at a kind of a funny time because they're making plans for the day.
Right.
I'm just backing up a little. I just want you to hear like how they're all these great plans that they have going.
I want to go home tomorrow.
Whoops.
Well, children, what would you like to do today? That is, after you finish your chores.
You mean we don't have to go to school?
Saturday, silly.
Oh, I forgot. I'd like to start sewing on my new dress, Ma.
Well, all right. Then perhaps you can join us later.
Where?
Well, I thought we might have a little picnic and go down to the creek. And maybe take a little fishing line along.
What a nice day you have planned. Oh, wonderful. Oh, great. Dad's home.
Right.
That's my girls.
Oh, Charles.
Yeah, Carolyn hanging on to him like she hadn't seen him for 3 months.
Exactly.
You pause outside.
Played this clip a little bit because in the background it has this playing and I was able to remove everything. Really, if you listen closely, it's popcorn popping. And I couldn't believe it. I'm just gonna play that clip again and see what you say. A popcorn. Sounds like they have a microwave, but I don't know if they really have, but it goes on and on and on. It's like it's unbelievable how much popcorn there really.
They're gonna have lots of popcorn.
Yeah. Now.
Come on.
Oh, wait a minute.
Let's get his chicken. Go away, and we never hear about them again.
And we never see them. We never see Mr. Stewart and his son again. Like everybody else.
It's kind of amazing.
I just love the music choices that I know I said it earlier, but I love the music choices that David Rose picks. It's just heartwarming. And so even though it's a horrendous subject, but again, I would love to hear that. I wish there were some Little House fans out there I don't wish they were friends out there that were raised by alcoholics, but I wish that there were some that said, hey, you know, I watched that and you know, it helped me to go to somebody, because it did. I think we would be surprised if people ever really made that.
Well, this might have been connection. Their first introduction to that. That you don't have to continue living that way, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I know that there was. I may have talked about that. I don't think I did. I mentioned it before, but there was actually a gentleman. And I'm saying this only to demonstrate the power of film. There was a gentleman, a young man, who was a Christian and a churchgoer and hung out with all of his Christian friends. And he had actually murdered his girlfriend, made it look like a suicide, and he got away with it.
Wow.
He was not even suspect. And then he went with his church friends and he went with them to the movies and he went and saw The Passion of the Christ. And I call it what you will. The guy came clean. He went straight from that movie theater to the police station and turned himself in and confessed. So he already had some kind of a foundation of faith. But again, I'm saying that just because film is a hugely powerful media, and it can, depending on the person, I mean, everybody's different, depending on the person watching it. I mean, that guy could have gotten away with murder for the rest of his life, but because of that film, it just... the guilt or whatever. I don't know. I've never interviewed the guy. He's in prison to this day for life. But he actually confessed to the murder.
That's wild.
From the power of Mel Gibson's film. So, you know, so it does that happen every day? Absolutely not. But it just, you know, it can be a very powerful medium, both in television and on the big screen. So, yeah.
Well, Susan, thank you very much for getting together for this particular episode.
You're so welcome, as always. It was a serious episode, but we didn't get all maudlin, so it's a good thing.
There's also more of this popcorn popping. It's just crazy. It shows up in every episode, just about. And, just seems to be a rush to make a lot of popcorn. It's like an Easter egg. You know, it's the more you look, the more you find.
That's right. Carol in 3 weeks with no popcorn. She had to make those big bags, Caroline. Like they used to have at the movie theater, those big yellow bags of the free popcorn.
You got the Jiffy Pop with the big thing. Yeah. So, if you're listening to this episode and you've come this far, you should... review the show.
Yes, please.
iTunes review, Stitcher review. We're on Spotify now. That's always kind of cool. And go to
patreon.com. Yes.
Yeah, go to patreon.com.
We have fun.
Go to patreon.com.
Go to
patreon.com/ Walnut Grovecast. And you know, you can even contribute a buck. I mean, all money that is contributed to the show is really appreciated, just to kind of go towards, you know, the bills that accrue with productions such as this. Also, I'm working on a lot of really cool little things I was telling Susan about, but I'm on the hunt for some kind of unique stuff. I don't know. I don't want to just do, like, the same stupid stuff. But I did just... I did one of the weirder things. I'm going to be making a few shirts and sending it to people who are supporting.
Woohoo!
I don't know. I have to come up with the designs.
Don't email me and ask me what Mark told me, because I'm sworn to secrecy. So don't. No emails going, what did he tell you? What's he making? Because I ain't going to tell you.
Because you know what I do? I say to Susan before we record, I go, what have you told people?
He'll banish me from the podcast.
No, I'll sue you. No, Susan signed a non-disclosure agreement, so she's actually...
That's right. Not allowed. My lips are sealed. Tick-a-lock.
But, you know, we do have that interview coming up that I was just telling you about with a certain person who was on the show, a beloved character. And he told me stories that I didn't even share them all with you yet. I just, while I was talking to him, I was just like, what? Really? All right. That's crazy.
Wow. I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. But, all right, I'm going to play us out. And then if you could just stay on the line, Susan.
I can. Ha ha ha.